Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 29, The Abomination and Son of Perdition.
The sons of perdition will take the mark, the final abomination that will desolate them. They become the image of the beast in the apostate temple. Just exactly what happened when Antiochus Epiphanes, set up the statue of Jupiter in the Holy of Holies of that apostate temple. It was a false image of God. Daniel 9 and 27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And on the wing of abominations or pinnacles, word of abomination shall come one. Now, everybody says that this one that comes is the Antichrist. No, it's not. It's talking about it's going to come one abomination that's going to make desolate. In other words, at the end of many abominations, one is going to come that's going to make desolate. See, God is, in Revelation 14, says that if any take the mark of the beast, they're going to be tormented day and night. In the presence of the holy angels, they're going to become desolate. That's one abomination where God draws a line. There are many abominations in the temple. Many. But there's one where He draws a line. And that one is the image of the beast that maketh desolate. See? There are people sitting in the body of Christ that they're not in the image of Christ. If you're not in the image of the Christ, you're in the image of the beast. See? And there's coming a time when God has decided to cleanse His body. You know, there are many lukewarm in the body of Christ right now. But we know that we're coming to a time when the Bible says He's going to spew the lukewarm out of His mouth. And what He's talking about is the body of Christ. They're going to be rejected from the body of Christ. Why? Because God doesn't, I believe that God does not like judging fence sitters. People that are just in the middle of the road. You don't like that either, do you? You'd rather they were either hot or cold so you can make a clear decision and feel good about it. And that's what He said. That when they're not hot or cold, He said, they're lukewarm, I'm going to spew them out of my mouth. They're going to be rejected. Nobody's going to sit on the fence in the days that are coming. You're either going to get in or you're going to get out all the way. See? So on this pinnacle of abominations, one is going to come that makes desolate. And even unto a full end, and that determined shall, watch this, wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Hey, we're not talking about a building here, are we? Look at that. He's talking about people. Shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. He's talking about the spiritual temple, the corporate son of perdition. Judas, by the way, hanged himself. It was his fault. The thing I received when I read that one time was that breath and spirit are the same thing. He cut himself off from the Spirit of God. He cut himself off. He could no longer partake of the Spirit of God. And he spiritually died. The corporate son of perdition will take the mark and go back to their Christian assemblies to fulfill the word. Matthew 24:15. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand. Why did he put that in there? Because what he's saying is, what I'm telling you is not on the surface. Pay close attention, because what I'm telling you is deeper than what first appears. Okay. Well, the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, is standing in a holy place in the original. Let me explain something to you. There's no manuscript that says the holy place. None of them do. The received text does not either. None of them do. The received text does not, the ancient manuscripts do not, and the numeric pattern does not. You know what a numeric pattern is? A numeric pattern is an awesome miracle that God did so we could prove what letter goes right there. Prove absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, what letter goes right there. See, God designed his whole book with a numeric pattern in it. Because, as you know, the Greeks and the Hebrews used their letters to write their numbers. So every letter in the Bible is also a number. And the guy that discovered this a little over 100 years ago was Ivan Panin. Was run out of Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution, came over here, was a devout Christian, and he noticed this because he started translating the Bible back into numbers, and he found these patterns going through the whole Bible. And it was totally awesome. Every letter in the Bible fits into a pattern. If you take one letter out or put one letter in, it ruins the pattern in that text. And he discovered this. And he started, what he started doing was getting the ancient manuscripts. You may not like what I'm going to say here, but I can't help it. He found a lot less pattern in the received text than he did in the ancient manuscripts. That's a fact. He found a lot less pattern. So what you've been hearing about that is not the truth. Because the received text is a copy off a copy off a copy off a copy off a copy way on down the line. And the ancient manuscripts were very close to the apostles. The closer you get to the ancient manuscripts, the more numeric pattern you find there. So anyway, he discovered this, and he also discovered that if you take the ancient manuscripts, laid them out there, you could find out which one was right, where it was right, and where it was wrong. And then you could take the part that was right and put it into the text, and the part that's right in this one and put it into the text. And what you're doing is you're building the original. You're building the original New Testament. This has been known for 100 years. I've got one of them. It's a numeric English New Testament. I have the numeric Greek New Testament. I've also studied numerics for 30 years, and it is foolproof as math. God picked the most exact science in the world to prove where the Bible, what is the true Bible. Okay? And you hear a lot of prejudice from religious spirits, you know, and especially attacking different Bibles and things. We've only got one proof, absolute proof. It's numerics. It's the only proof that we have. It's absolute. Okay. You don't have to be prejudiced and have take people's opinions anymore. We have the proof. So what God did is he fixed it where if you put a letter or took out a letter or put in a word of your own opinion that made sense to you. See, sometimes translators, they didn't translate what they saw because it didn't fit their understanding. They knew that there was only one holy place, so they put the holy place. But they were wrong because there isn't just one holy place. Now there are many holy places. The fact that it's many holy places and that God actually said a holy place indicates that he's talking about individual bodies of believers that the son of perdition is sitting in the midst of. You following me? A holy place lets you know that we're talking about a corporate son of perdition sitting in the bodies of Christ, the local bodies of Christ. See? And the merits proves that. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 6, and now you know that which restraineth to the end that he, that is the son of perdition, may be revealed. Well, what is restraining the coming of the son of perdition? He told us in verse 3. It's not the Holy Ghost, by the way. He told us in verse 3, he said, except the falling away come first and the man of sin be revealed. The thing that's restraining the coming of the son of perdition is the falling away. Nobody knows who he is yet. He has to fall away so everybody can see who he is. And the great falling away that's coming is the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is a great falling away. Many Christians are going to take the mark of the beast. Many Christians. They haven't walked as Christians, and they haven't walked in the Spirit, and they have not renewed their mind with the Word of God, nor their works with the Word of God. That's why they're going to take the mark of the beast. Those who have the spiritual mark will take the physical mark. They will have no choice. God will see to it. See, it's God who's identifying the body of the beast. And it's God who's identifying his body. You think he's ever going to make a mistake? People that are saying, oh, well, when the time comes, you know, I may be doing what I want to do now, but when the time comes, I just won't take the mark of the beast. Yes, they will. Because it's already written. You know, they've already got it. So they're going to take it. So it says, except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That which restraineth the revealing of the son of perdition is the falling away. Just as the pattern with Judas clearly shows us. Nobody knew who Judas was until the falling away. And at the falling away, his nature, character, and authority changed because the devil entered into him. Seven and eight. For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work, only there is one that restraineth now. Now, again, people say, well, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, or other things like that have come to people's minds, you know. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit's omnipresent. He's not going anywhere. He's already everywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's in hell. It's not bothering him, but he's there. He's everywhere. He is the part of God that is omnipresent. Have you ever noticed that in Daniel and in Revelation, God is sitting on a throne and he has a body? But I'd like to point out to you that though Daniel and John saw the Father and saw the Son coming up to him, the Lamb coming up to him in the Ancient of Days, nobody ever saw the Holy Spirit on the third throne over there. You know, how come nobody ever saw that? People that go to heaven, they never saw that either. Why is this so? The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's omnipresent. If you could see something that's omnipresent, that's all you would see. You would see nothing else. Because he would be right here in front of your eyeball. You know? You follow what I'm saying? You don't see something that's omnipresent. Because it's everywhere. If you did see it, you wouldn't see anything else. So, the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. The Bible says, he ek perumiai, comes forth out of God. You know where the Holy Spirit comes from? He's not on the third throne over there. He comes out of the Father. He's the Father's Spirit. That's what the Bible says. He comes out. I'm not getting into Trinity or oneness. Both of them are wrong, frankly. But the Bible tells us the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. And he comes forth out of God, and he inhabits us, and he makes us one. That's the plan of God. He inhabits all of his people and makes us one. There is one that restraineth now until he be come out of the midst. There's something restraining the coming of the Lord. There's something in God's body that has to come out before he can come for it. It says, out of the midst in the original. The received text says that. The ancient manuscripts say that. And the numeric pattern says that. Out of the midst. Something in the midst of God's body that has to come out. And it is the son of perdition. He's the one that's restraining the coming of the Lord. The Lord cannot come until he comes out. It says, and then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord, when he comes out, he's going to be revealed. Right? The falling away is going to reveal him. Whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Notice that the Lord is restrained from coming until the son of perdition be come out of the midst. And he's coming out of the midst of God's people, God's temple. Peter said, the lawless, there's that word again, man of sin, man of lawless, are them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement. So as they're eating Babylonish food, they got defiled, right? In the lusts of defilement, which is the spiritual mark. And they shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Destroyed is the word for perdition. I don't think I told you this, but perdition is apaleia. The angel who was cast down out of heaven in Revelation 9 and verse 1 is the king of the abyss in verse 11, chapter 9 and verse 11. And he's called Apollyon. Apollyon is the destroyer. Apaleia is the people destroyed. He comes out of the abyss and he inhabits perdition, the Bible says. What happened to Judas? He got inhabited by the devil. And he's the king of the abyss. Remember the destroying angel over in Exodus chapter 12 that passed over the people of God? He had no choice because the blood was on their doorposts, and he destroyed the wicked. So, in their destroying, they're going to be destroyed. And then he called them spots and blemishes. Peter said that these people, these lawless men, these sons of perdition, are spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you. Judas was a deceiver. He wasn't what he appeared to be. He was a thief. He stole from the common purse. He lied. You know? He turned in Jesus, right? He was a spot and blemish. Well, if the Lord's coming for a spotless, blemishless bride, certainly the son of perdition has to come out of the midst first before the Lord can come. That's God's plan. See, through tribulation, the thing about it is, Christians can handle tribulation. But people that don't walk as Christians can't handle tribulation. My son, I prayed over my three sons one night. When I put them to bed, I prayed over and I asked the Lord to give them all a dream or a vision that night. They all had a dream or a vision that night. My youngest son had a vision, an open vision. He came to me, he was about so tall. maybe he's about that tall. And he came to me the next morning, he said, Daddy, can you have a dream with your eyes open? I said, yeah, tell me about that one. That's the one I want to hear about, you know. And he said, well, I saw a ship on the ocean. It was a big ocean-going ship. And he said it was full of people. He said there were people on that ship that were dressed in white, and there were people on that ship dressed in black. And he said they were all sitting around the ship, and their legs were hanging over the side of the ship. You know, the Lord gives visions to kids. He has a sense of humor. Well, they were all sitting around the ship. He said, Daddy, now he wasn't thinking about this. He said, Daddy, all the people that were dressed in white were on the right side of the ship, and all the people dressed in black were on the left side of the ship. Like the sheep and the goats, right? He said, Daddy, the next thing I saw was a jet plane came down out of the sky and shot a rocket at that ship and blew it all to pieces. And he said, all those people were in the water. Tribulation's coming, you know. The thing that we call our gospel ship is going to be busted all to pieces, folks. But it's going to put everybody in the water. He said, Daddy, he said, those guys that were dressed in black, they couldn't swim. And they sank. See, that's what tribulation does. You know what the Word of God represents, don't you? It represents the Word of God, which is what he told Moses, is a blessing and a cursing. I put before you this day a blessing and a cursing. The Word of God supports the righteous, like Noah on the top of the flood, but it destroys the wicked. The same Word that is a blessing is a cursing to the wicked. They can't swim during tribulation period. They don't have the fortitude. They don't have the nature of Jesus to help them stay up. They're going to fall away. They're going to take the mark because they've got no choice. They don't have faith. You have to have faith if you're not going to take the mark, because you can't buy and sell with the world. And your love is in the world. See, that's the point. So these people, they're going to show up in tribulation. Tribulation is for that purpose. They're going to show up. And they're dressed in black. The Bible says, you know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the lusts of the flesh to fulfill them. We're putting on a garment that's white. We're supposed to hate the garment that's spotted by the flesh, Jude said, you know. Revelation 19, the bride had put on this glowing garment. Literally, it says lampros. It's a glowing white. It's not just white, it's glowing white, you know. And then it tells you that this bright garment is the righteous acts of the saints. The acts. See, we're putting on our garments. By our own actions, we're putting on our garments. If you walk in sin, your garment's going to be spotted by the flesh. See, we've got to get rid of the spots and blemishes. You know what came to me one time? This thought came to me. A spot is a new sin. And a blemish is an old sin. A portion of the Antichrist beast, son of perdition, because he's now identified with the beast, he's identified as a member of the body of the beast, is in the midst of the temple and must come out. 1 John 2:18 and 19. Little children, it's the last hour. And as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have there arisen many antichrists, whereby we know it is the last hour. Now, he wasn't wrong. Everybody says he kept saying that and he missed the timing. No, it was their last hour, because he was just before the beast came to destroy the harlot. It was the end of their age, you see. It was their last hour. And now we are coming to the exact same last hour in our day. And what has to happen now is what happened right then when he was talking about it. In our day, the Antichrist that's in the body has to come out. See? They went out from us, but they were not of us. Jesus said, didn't I choose you 12? One of you is a devil. He knew from the beginning who it was that would betray him, the Bible says. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. You can't tell by looks. The disciples couldn't tell. They didn't know Judas. Judas, I guarantee you, Judas was casting out devils and healing the sick and doing everything the rest of them were doing. Or they would have been suspicious. When they asked Jesus, Lord, who is it, you know, that'll betray you? They didn't say, oh, I know it's Judas because he can't cast out a devil for nothing, you know. No, no, they didn't know. He was doing all the religious works. Old Testament types of the abomination. Okay, I want to tell you about Antiochus Epiphanes. In Daniel 8 and Daniel chapter 11, it's been very common that people use this to identify the works of the end time Antichrist. And I want to tell you why you can't do that. Okay? Because those were fulfilled in a guy called Antiochus Epiphanes. In the breaking up of Alexander the Great's empire, he was the fourth general that took the land of Syria. And he was a real pain to the people of God. God raised him up to really persecute and crucify them. This happened in the so-called 400 years between the Testaments. That's what they call it. But this is when the Maccabees book was written. And Maccabees tells you the story of Antiochus Epiphanes. He tells you that Daniel 8 and 11 already happened. It did happen. Am I saying that means it's not going to happen again? No. But I am saying this. When it happens one time, it's physical. The next time, it's spiritual. It's a type and a shadow. You don't take it literally to describe what's going to happen of somebody else in the end time. It literally was speaking of Antiochus Epiphanes. Daniel 8, now not Daniel 9 and 27. Daniel 9 and 27 was talking about the 70th week. That's talking about the beast in our day. But that was not talking about the beast in our day. It was first of all talking about the beast in that day, Antiochus Epiphanes, you see. He was an individual Old Testament type, just like Ahab was, an individual Old Testament type, just like Constantine was. Remember, first mention, you're talking about an individual. Thereafter, you're talking about a body. See, the Lord's done this consistently, all the way through the Bible, consistently. So he was an Old Testament type. So when you're looking at a type, you have to translate it. If you don't translate it and you do it literally, that's kind of like Christians taking Old Testament types and bringing them literally into the New Testament. That is an error every time you do it. That's going back under the letter. It would be like you going back under the Old Testament Sabbath, taking it literally from the Old Testament and bringing it literally into the New Testament without translating it. So there's always a translation. When Paul translated circumcision, he called it baptism in Colossians. Everything was translated. Every letter was translated into the Spirit. And if you bring the letter over, you are transgressing God. Because anybody that would seek to be justified by the law is cut off from grace, the Bible says. It's pretty dangerous, very dangerous. Read Galatians chapter 4. It's dangerous to go back under the law. Anybody put you under the law, get away from them. What Antiochus Epiphanes did, he set up a statue of Jupiter in the Holy of Holies. He sprinkled swine's broth on the altar. He did everything he could to make those Jews think that they had blasphemed God. Did everything he could. Well, he set up a physical image of a false god in the Holy of Holies. We just found out that the Holy of Holies is not that physical Holy of Holies anymore. And the image is talking about the image that's in the body of Christ, which is the Holy of Holies. So you can see very plainly that what he did was a type and a shadow right off the bat. See? So when you look at what he did, don't try to make it physically what's going to happen in the end time. There's a spiritual revelation there.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.